stand and do the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm just going to ask for a moment of silence for a close family friend, Christina Batch, that was murdered this week. Thank you.
Mary, was she about an hour from here? You knew her?
Yeah.
Is it where her ex-husband?
What?
Her ex-husband?
They don't know yet.
Oh, that's a different...
But no...
It's like my mother-in-law is one of her best friends. I had to rush into the story the other day. You knew her as well?
Yeah, she took all my pictures.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah, she's very close with my kids. She graduated with one of my kids.
She's 13-year-old? Is her youngest?
I think 9.
Oh, my God. We're talking about the same person.
I think, 2, 6, and 9. Oh, sorry, we're on that. Anyway. Resolutions and minutes are in there if you need them. Okay. All right. So... All right. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from October 4th and the October 22nd meeting?
So moved.
Any changes? Anything? Any discussion?
No.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried. The minutes are approved. Okay. We have Resolution 382, appointing members to the Recycling Oversight Committee. If someone make a motion to...
Move for purposes
for discussion. Second?
I'll second it.
So, yeah.
I mean, you have these in your computer, but I made these up because sometimes it's easier to have a visual hard copy.
And we had an interview that was
canceled
today. But
she wants to reschedule it. Yeah.
And Joe, what happened with
Darren? He's interested. They're interested. I'll check and see if I got that.
On the second sheet, are the people you've interviewed or have applied?
You didn't get anything from Schoonmaker, did you?
And my friend Cameron Wilson from the town, Williams from the town of Ulster, asked me about the information and I sent it to him, and he is saying that he wants to apply. So I
keep checking with Mary every day, and she's like on alert to tell me when someone applies.
Where is this your person from?
He's from the town of Ulster, and he previously worked in a recycling facility. So he's quite knowledgeable, and he stays up on it. He's very interested in trying to make good decisions for the planet.
That's great.
What's his first name?
Cameron.
Cameron Williams?
Mm-hmm.
And so he brings a little knowledge to the table.
Yeah, he's also a photographer and a graphic artist and font designer, but retired basically at this point, just does consulting.
John's from Sotheby's. Okay, is John on the board? I would like, in terms of the at-large members, I would like to interview those three people if we can.
Mm-hmm.
John, Cameron, and
Alyssa.
Because we just have too many candidates from Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the...
Although the one that brings the motion to the table is also from Kingston.
Right, I don't think. No, I feel
really...
I feel pretty strongly about her, but that's... But the matter of fact is, when we look at across the board, we're looking at a lot of Kingston people. In some of the specific roles as well, commercial, institutional, multifamily, aren't they both... Kingston, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're both Kingston residents. I mean, Ryan, I think, would distinctly represent New Paltz, and he has such specific knowledge that I think of him as kind of like an honorary appointee from New Paltz, but we really don't have a lot of geographic diversity, and that's
But we're also not getting any applicants with, you know what I mean? Like, we're not getting a wide range of applicants either.
Did you interview Jo Schwartz? She's from Woodstock, right?
We did.
Yes.
Okay.
And so Sarah Wink too, right? From Woodstock? No?
I just handed out all the applications.
I'm sorry, what, Matt?
I think that of the people that we've interviewed, Ryan brings the most to the table, in Ryan Goodwin, in terms of really understanding recycling. I think.
And he would be our commercial.
Yeah. I'm not as impressed with recycling knowledge or background. I think there's a lot of good intention, and that's important.
With who?
With the rest.
Oh, with the rest.
Yeah.
Well, except that one woman
that
had worked in the city.
Joanne Myers, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Remember Joanne Myers? Yeah, that's right. I take that back. Yeah. She had such a... amazing breadth of resume. I mean, it's amazing that one person has that much lifetime experience.
And I don't mean to interrupt, but Laura Petite was making the point that these people seemed like they really want to do something to help the community, and there might be a role for them in one of the other, you know, places, maybe with like plastic bag education or something else that's coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm. For the rest of
Because it's
climate smart.
Yeah. They all would be, yeah.
Commercial waste hauling.
Laura had some ideas about that, too. She's working on some people. I did send a letter out to all of the commercial waste haulers that I got a list from RRA. And I sent each of them a letter, and then I sent a follow-up. And Laura had talked to a couple people she thinks might be interested, but
there's someone from Royal, Vincent, I don't remember his last name right now, but he is helping on the composting committee. There's a group of people that are trying to figure out, do we have enough capacity and what would be a good workable system for food waste composting? And so anyone who's actively doing that in the county, we've formed an unofficial committee to try to figure out a plan so that next year I would like to introduce legislation similar to Connecticut or Vermont, or find out more about the state legislation for large food waste haulers, but I don't want to do that until it's really we have a workable system in place.
Yeah.
And he has been really, you know, showing up, and that's because Royal has so much experience with food waste composting. They're, I think, probably collecting more than anyone else. There's another community compost. I don't want to get sidetracked, but I'm just saying, in terms of a commercial waste hauler, maybe reaching out specifically, maybe I could call them, or Laura knows them. And
well, maybe this is off subject just a dot, but Saugerties Transfer Station is taking the food waste now.
Yes.
So where is that going?
A community compost is bringing that, okay. I think, to UCRA.
Okay.
Yeah, can I also say that Tracy, the last time this was seeded, we never effectively got representation from the haulers. We began with
the small.
No, actually, it was Kathy Robinson.
Yeah.
You know, she was the head of that company, but she came in the beginning for a couple meetings, but then couldn't sustain. So
it wasn't Kathy, but it was Robinson. Different first name.
Yeah, it could be. But it was, yeah. And then it was Mrs. Robeson. So, But yeah, after two meetings, maybe they weren't there. So, So I don't know. Do we want to? What do we want to do? Do we want to wait to really analyze against? The geographic diversity, or do we want to start to get a seated currently?
Well, I think we need to move towards a seated, and I think we need to set some kind of deadline. If they're going to respond or apply, there has to be a cutoff date, because this can't be gone.
Because this is it really has been
and it's really not fair to some of the people who came in and interviewed earlier.
Yeah,
and leaving them hanging in limbo, where are they going to get appointed or not?
But yeah, I mean, in terms of fairness, I think it's critical that we have geographic diversity on an appointment.
Well, let's get the people like apply. This.
Yeah,
but they don't apply. It's hard to appoint to the committee.
Have you considered going ahead and making the appointments for the specified assignments? But not making any at-large appointments, and then that way there'd be a resolution that was out there, and that would get it some publicity, get it into the paper, and do the at-large separately. If there was somebody who applied who could fill one of those spots, you could always move. You could still juggle people around, and it just seems like this is, even with some effort, that it's still something that not everybody knows that you're looking for this.
Right. I mean, that's always the case, I think, with these volunteer boards, that it's hard to get the word out there and hard to get the response. And we're grateful for any response we get, generally. But the problem, in part, is that of the specified ones, quite a few are already from Kingston. So, again, you know, it's great and so engaged, but it's a challenge. And you know, it's also a particular challenge because Kingston is in some ways relatively distinct in terms of its relationship to solid waste and its relationship to the county in relation to solid waste. So, you know, while I would hope that everybody, we experienced this to some degree last time around, you know, and I've certainly seen it in conversations related to recycling over the years, most particularly when over the years we have discussed flow control of recyclables. People very quickly, representatives very quickly put on their hats related to being representatives of their community before representatives of the county or before representatives of this board, looking for kind of broad-based problem solving when your community that you represent or the interest that you represent stands to, from a certain perspective, lose from a decision, your take on it is going to be different.
What is our outreach? What exactly do we do?
To attract applicants.
Where do we post this?
Well, we've done press releases. We did a press release about this, at least one. We may want to do another one.
And if it ran in the Freeman?
I think it ran in Mid Hudson News, but I'd have to go back and check. And then we have it up. It's
I'm
up on.
Later, I haven't even seen an article from Mid Hudson News in a while.
It's up on Acela.
Have we ever thought about doing a letter to the editor in all the Ulster Publishing and Daily Freeman papers, saying, as environmental committee, legislative environmental committee, and energy committee, we're looking for this? Have we ever thought about calling a couple of local radio stations and asking them to go ahead and put our information, you know, mention it a couple of times in some busy hours to do us a favor?
Do we have to pay for that?
The short answer to that is no, but I think that's a great idea.
And the Ulster Publishing Papers will run a press release, usually in their front notes, so that's a good idea.
And the radios will definitely run a...
Can we go ahead and send it as a letter to the editor looking for you know, and then let's try a different kind of outreach, because what this comes down to is no one ever sees that, and then it's who we can find.
Oh, yeah.
And at this table.
And then it's always somebody can, I'd love to.
And from the other parts of the county, we
no
don't really have anybody here from the far south.
Has a legitimate resume. Mm-hmm. It'd be great to have two or three of those people in there. Let's try a different way of getting out the word.
Okay. I can write a letter, and I mean, with your
email it out
with your permission. I was gonna say we can't like vote online, but you guys could all say
we can all put
edit
our opinions
it and,
in an open forum in an email and say maybe we mentioned this, maybe we, but it's, we're probably all gonna go. That sounds good.
Yeah,
okay, that's a great idea.
I think it's
let's
great
do it, Manna.
I would like to take up Kathy's suggestion for the ones on the front page, plus Ryan Goodwin and Emily Hamilton, because I think did Emily make it in for an interview? She did finally. Okay, yes, I remember.
She's
Rucka.
Oh,
she's
Rucka. Okay.
Family.
Okay. Yep.
And then, before I finish the motion, I just want to get a sense of the committee. Would we want to add in Joanne Meyer as one at large, and then we'd, in a second round, go back for the waste hauler and either three or two at large? That way we can get started, because I think we're good with, you know, 7 of 11.
Tracy?
I would want to see Joanne in there. I mean, I think she's too good to like get away.
Right.
She had an amazing amount of experience and just such an incredible breadth of knowledge across so many different subjects that I feel like she'd be an asset to any board. Frankly, I feel like she'd be a good board member of the RRA. I mean, she just really was impressive.
And then I think, you know, out of courtesy, we should probably let the other at large know that they're still in the running, but we are still interviewing.
That's a good idea.
Right.
That just so that
give them an update.
They don't assume that they didn't make it.
Right.
Because it's been over a month for some of them.
Yeah.
Maybe mention
a couple months.
Part of why it's taken this long is we're attempting to get diversity from different areas
and
of
demographics.
The
yeah, yeah, I could word something
that it's not about them; it's about where they're living, possibly.
So I would call them actually from
okay. Most.
I think all the others are from Kingston, right? So it's to bring up the geographic diversity.
One was from the town of Kingston.
It wasn't. One from Woodstock?
Yeah. Which is
Joanne. Oh, yeah, they're
from
Woodstock.
Oh, right.
Woodstock,
oh, right.
Yeah.
Towards the right. Very different.
Yeah.
City of Kingston, to be honest.
All right, so should I restate that as a motion, or are you okay? And
wouldn't it be something if we got 30 resumes unsolicited by anybody, just that? But I think we should, on a lot of these things, a couple committees could probably use another way of getting it out there.
Yeah.
Maybe develop a relationship with a couple of these radio stations and papers where maybe they'll even, like we said, maybe we can get a DJ to mention it. Maybe they'll even, if they have an extra ad that's space that they didn't sell, they'll actually put it in there. But we should probably give a quick description of what it actually is, what they'll be doing, really brief, and where to send the resume, but maybe an explanation of what the committee does and what we're looking for in a resume, and see what happens.
I mean, it really is like a public service announcement, so I wouldn't be surprised if a radio station like DST would run it saying, you know, the Elster County Legislature.
And then once we create that relationship, we can go back to it in different committees.
Yeah.
But we should probably try to do that.
We're all looking for contact.
And
that's what they say.
Yeah,
and this is up on the Ulster County website.
It's an open committee.
But I think
we should
set a goal, though.
Yeah.
A response, because it shouldn't be left indefinite.
No, I agree.
No. Put that in your letter.
Well,
so
we're also
letter
specifically looking for someone young still, too, based on the...
We can say that. We're looking for a student in the...
I wouldn't say that on
the...
That's
legal.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's in the resolution.
Like younger,
isn't it a student?
Is that legal?
To say a student?
If
student is, how
student
is it phrased?
May include students.
Yes.
Yeah.
It can't be about age.
So yeah, then we could put may about.
Looking for a young female Hispanic.
That's the wrong website.
So, Manna Jo, you're offering an amendment to add Ryan Goodwin as the commercial industrial, Emily Hamilton as the multifamily dwelling interest, and Joanne Myers as the first at large?
I am.
I'll second
and
that.
All the ones on the front page.
Yeah.
Well, that's Fawn means to add it to the, to fill in the front page.
And so that was seconded by
Bartels.
Okay.
On the amendment.
On the amendment. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any nays? No? Good.
Oh, I'm aye.
Good. Okay. Sorry.
And then do you want to go ahead and vote on the resolution as amended?
Yeah. So do we need to move it that way?
It's been moved for discussion, so it's fine if you just vote on it now.
So we'll call for a vote. All in favor? Aye. So motion carried.
Just on the ones you're calling, if they are not from Kingston, I know we should probably not bring up the geographic diversity.
Yeah.
Because we do, with this list, we have a lot of people from Kingston.
We do.
But I think we have enough diversity and we have talent.
Well, I think sometimes what they bring to the table kind of overrides where they live in some cases.
Yeah.
And I certainly can leave the door open that we have a lot of other environmentally, things that are going on in Ulster County that whatever comes out of this, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's other stuff we want to get moving on.
We're looking for talented people like them maybe to serve
in
other environmental roles.
Mm-hmm. Kathy?
To follow up on the outreach, Ulster County Department of Health has a weekly radio show that's on health issues, but would somebody from the committee be interested in talking about waste issues or plastics or even climate change related to health?
Or they could at least read.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I think they would, Dr. Smith is always looking for people to interview who
are. Where is it?
They tape it and then it runs on Sunday mornings, but then it's archived for a podcast, yeah. And they've had some interesting stuff. They had Tim Guinea last week. They've done some good stuff.
Do they post it on their website? They have a link to it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know the
on the link. Department of Health website, there's a link?
It's healthyulster.org or something like that. I don't have it right in front of me, but yeah.
That's a great idea.
I can forward to you the last notice that I got about it. I got them on a mailing list that they send out what's going to be each week.
That's great.
And I think that people from this committee could be a good resource for getting out that connection between how we live and our health.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Tracy?
Just thinking on that, so that subject related back to Joe earlier before the meeting was talking about the possibility of an app and in thinking about our website. I mean, I just think our website and our website is lacking, in my opinion, and our outreach and our ability to reach out is lacking. I mean, when a website is not user friendly for the actual users of it, meaning us, then how can it be user friendly for the public? I mean, I think that we need to really think. I know we revamped it not long ago.
You talk about Ulster County in general or the environmental?
I'm talking about the legislative website.
Oh, okay.
Because a different, something that, your concept, which we don't have to talk about right now, but about having an app, a way of reaching out to the public, a way of getting, even feedback on policies we're thinking of, and we just, it's very dysfunctional, and I know that's not for this committee to really dig into.
And there's no real interactive kind of.
I think as legislators, we need to really
we could talk about budget time, putting $5,000 or $10,000 into that any committee can go to for any reason, any time. This would be one of the committees that probably would use it most for a running PSA. I mean, the county spends a lot of its public advertising, but the county spends $30-something thousand a year on PSAs. the legislature could have a $5,000 fund when we are looking for committee members. We actually do a PSA. It could be radio.
PSAs ostensibly should be free, right? I mean,
except for production costs.
We also have a Facebook page. We also have a Facebook presence. We could put something about this on Facebook.
Sometimes they'll give you, they'll match. You know, you pay for $5,000, they'll give you $5,000 free. But it wouldn't take much. But we're looking for run a month of PSAs about this. But we had talked about it, the environment recycling facts and stuff. We would, and if we didn't use it, it's only a couple of grand that gets dumped into the general fund or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I think it'd be worth talking about it. We just raised the, all we got to do is raise sales taxes, $5,000. That's what, $22 million? It might be a little low. $5,000 for our PSA, right? Another $120 for two analytical staff. We're still probably under the.
I think we need to start
getting creative
this.
Like that. Not forget that we're legislators. That's our choice. That's our budget as much as it's any other entity in this county. As we come up with things like this, I think it would be something if that came out of that this year, that we figure out a way to get more resumes for committee and not just political insiders. How many former legislators and whatever on all these committees? I'd love to get great resumes of people that never thought about being involved in local politics on these committees.
And there's a ton of them out there. Great, we have great talented people throughout this town.
I'm thinking that did anybody send this to the New Paltz Climate Action Committee and to all our CSAs and to all our environmental management
committees? A letter to the editor in all the time.
That's how a communication person would have thought about this issue. So maybe.
Well, it did
go. I think your point, which is an example. I'm sorry to jump on it, but
go ahead.
When you talk about a communication person, that's what I feel. I'm sorry, we're getting way off course, but I just now I have to finish the thought because I feel like that's what the legislature is lacking. Like our clerk's office is so maxed with so much work. You know, they're covering all these committees. They're doing 23 people's individual bidding, they're researching, and they do a great job.
It's a skeleton crew.
But it's a skeleton crew.
To begin with.
Exactly. It's like we need a communications person would look at our website, the legislative website, and say, this is totally dysfunctional. This is not, you're directed to other sites when you click on things, you use Google. It's just, it's so not engaging in a way that is modern and now. It's just not. And so even Acela is, seriously, I mean, go on it. And it's just not, it's not. So I think we need a communications person. We need to start thinking about things, both because it all comes back and affects the next thing, whether it's how we get outreach to encourage people to be on all these volunteer boards, or how we get feedback on policy that we're working on.
I agree with you. I don't know if we do it through the legislative website. That's not.
I'm not saying that's just one aspect of it. I'm saying we do not have a communications.
Yeah, I agree.
Contingent, technically.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't. So we need. I mean, it's not for the Environment Committee, but we should, as legislators, I think we should be thinking about this for sure.
All right. So we'll move on to resolution number 400. Adopting proposed local law number 20 of 2018, a local law requiring restaurants and fast food service establishments provide plastic beverage straws solely upon request. Motion to move?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
I did want to tell you, Brian, that one of the, the one I think before that, when I was fairly certain that I had taken your point well into consideration and had Vicki change it. It had been changed, and I
copied the, when we save resolutions, we save them as a Word, and then we save them as a PDF so we don't send them out to the public as a Word document so somebody could change them. And I only copy the PDFs into the files, and I didn't realize Vicki had changed it in the Word document because it's not the way we usually do it. So it had been amended that the length I sent out.
So we took that exact number out and just put a generic a lot or billions or millions, and that can be changed even. But I think millions is pretty generic. I would go even further if it needed to be more comfortable just to say.
So are you offering that amendment now formally?
I'll
yes.
second it.
Okay.
Are you, how do you feel about that?
I'm fine with that, but I'm probably going to end up being a no on this one.
What, I mean, just
the amendment? Yeah. The amendment's fine. It's, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But Tracy's going to be a main sponsor on this and have full
okay.
ability to.
So any other discussion on the amendment? On the amendment?
No.
Yep. So all in favor?
And I'm sorry. Can we clarify the amendment because I was...
Certainly. The language as it's going to read now under the legislative intent and findings. In the second paragraph, millions of plastic straws are used each day in the United States. This equates to billions of straws per year filtering into the landfills.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
Thank you.
Because there was the question about...
The exact number.
The specific numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're also adding... Tracy is a sponsor?
Yes.
So all in favor of the amendment? Aye.
On the
amendment.
Resolution as amended?
No, just on the amendment.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm an aye.
Yeah. Okay, so motion carried. So now on the resolution.
So we had talked about, I don't know if you guys touched upon this.
We didn't.
So Tracy went back and talked to a couple of people that we had leaned on for the plastic bag data, and these people really have been a part of similar legislation in other parts of
the state and country, and
have really can give us a good feel for how it's gonna work because they've been there and done that.
Mm-hmm.
We had talked about, and I think everybody was really excited if we got good data about what is the terminology?
Brian's suggestion, the passive distribution suggestion. So they were wholly and totally opposed to it for some of the reasons that I suspected. They felt that
who are these people?
Jordan Christensen is the main person I talked with. Jordan Christensen, who we worked
she
with
for
Citizens Campaign for the plastic bags.
Short blonde hair.
Two main people that the private sector people that
and they're working on on this as well as plastic bags. So the concept of the passive distribution, first of all, there was the concern that people would take, which I think you spoke to personally, more than one, just having it out there, and that the main benefit of legislation like this is really having the conversation, and not the protracted conversation, but the internal conversation of do I really need this straw by being asked. And so when you remove the asking and you just put the straws out for the taking, you may not be reducing the straws that much, and you're not forcing the introspection.
To change behavior.
So they were totally. She said that they're totally. Citizens Campaign is totally opposed to the passive distribution. But they're seeing this work elsewhere. This has been passed in other communities. I don't have in front of me which ones, but. They're seeing this work elsewhere, just as written.
And just for clarification, it's just plastic, not paper straws, too?
No, just plastic.
Well, right now, the language, I think that's something that we have to talk about. Right now, a beverage straw is just says a tube for transferring a beverage from its container. So I think the way that it was originally worded...
In the title, it's plastic. Beverage straw, so I assume...
But I think you have to change the... I think we have to change the definition. If the aim is to have it be plastic, then we have to change a beverage straw. Or we have to change where in regulation, it would have to say, restaurants and fast food service establishments shall ask each dine-in customer if the customer wants a single-use plastic beverage straw. I think I would change the definition and the regulation section to, because if the definition says plastic, then we're only talking about plastic. Right now, I'd be concerned that it covered paper, which, you know, when I had the internal conversation, I thought, well, you know, it's probably worth asking people if they even want a paper straw, but then we get crazy. So it's like, if people want to just make the change and get paper straws, I think that's fine.
So we want to amend that B part to add the word plastic in front of single use?
Well, I think the first thing would be the definition.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it would be good to have a definition of a beverage straw and then a plastic beverage straw. Because some of the ones that you can keep and use mm-hmm. for a year are made of plastic. So I think maybe you need the...
Single use plastic.
Well, the way we did it in the plastic bags was mm-hmm. with a measurement, you know, that if it's of a certain thickness, so maybe that would be...
Yeah.
Because I think single use would be vague. And so beverage straw... And the ability to use plastic or something, I mean, paper or something other than plastic, which is, includes bamboo and other
Stainless
things that
steel.
Are coming online, steel, I think
glass,
those be
blown glass
that
ones
wouldn't
are big
be single
now.
Use, but I think we should address that in here and that those should be acceptable for passive distribution. Because without that, I'm going to have trouble. All the places that think they're doing a real good job on reducing plastics, like Bread Alone and
mm-hmm.
other restaurants that are out in my district that are all, were very happy with plastic bags and are happy with this, are doing passive distribution. They're doing passive distribution with plastic, a lot mm-hmm. of them.
So at least we're giving them an option to leave it with paper.
Right, which I would prefer that even plastic were allowed, because what they're saying, they don't see a lot of people taking handfuls of them. They're going through very few. They have them out there, and people use them when they need them. So I would actually favor allowing passive distribution, despite what Jordan said, of plastic straws. If this committee can't do that, and we're convinced that that's not enough to address the problem, then I think we should certainly allow passive distribution
of paper
or alternatives, because that's how we'll get people using bamboo or paper in other stores, is if they encounter them somewhere.
I think Bread Alone is selling a lot of hot beverages,
yes,
they have a clientele that's probably, on average, a little more environmentally conscious, so that when they're, that passive distribution there would probably work.
Mm-hmm.
What you worry
exactly.
about is
yeah.
diners and other types of places.
Speedway,
fast food inside, you know, people that are inside Wendy's. And,
Manna?
Just on that one point, I'm fine with paper, bamboo, steel, or glass. I for passive distribution, I really don't want it to be plastic. If we're going to pass legislation, I'm also thinking about composting. And people are not going to put glass or steel. They might put bamboo in compost. But they can put paper. And we're moving toward those biodegradable single use. So many places are now using paper. So I would rather not include plastic in the passive distribution. I do think that, you know, the question about single-use plastic being vague in terms of what we're specifically trying to switch over from automatic to you have to ask for it or take it yourself. And I just came back from Whole Foods, and they have a rack, and you push what you want, and it drops down, and you take it. And in terms of passive distribution, nobody else is touching the one that you're using. And you know, we've talked about that before. I know that we could vote on, you know, iron this out and vote on it. I just, you know, last time we discussed this, we also talked about deferring it and having the Department of Health write a letter and getting input. And I just before we go too much further,
Or even have a letter from the legislature.
Pardon?
Or even have a letter from legislature
partnering with businesses, which is what I'm inclined to do.
What was the letter going to be again?
Like a, not like a seeker.
No, it was going to be saying that the legislature is considering passing this legislation.
And at least getting their feedback.
Getting their feedback, yeah.
Speaking of
from restaurants and other food service businesses.
But I actually would like to see it.
Okay, let's put out for that.
But I actually, but I actually would like to see us put out a letter where we're partnering with them rather than telling them what they're going to, you know, somewhat dictating what they're doing.
Well, the first one would be for an opinion. Maybe they can send somebody to the next meeting and talk to us about what they think. And
I'd rather them try it. You know, the people that are willing to try it and then give us feedback. If they come at the next meeting, they're going to be talking off the top of their head because they wouldn't.
Well,
except
you're
for
talking about the Board of Health.
Have it.
You're talking about having like the Board of Health come and discuss
it. I think I'm misunderstanding what Man is looking for. Go.
You're talking about businesses try it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like several businesses do a test run and then come back and talk to us about it.
Okay.
That's what Man
we
is
could
doing.
Also.
And
it's being done out there. We could even get some. I stopped in a couple of places. Right when you go into Stone Ridge. What's that? Nibble Nook it used to be. Now it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Before Bodacious Bagels?
It's like an upscale cafe, well, diner, nice little cafe.
The Roost?
Yes.
Yes.
And they're doing it, and I just, I stopped in after.
Are they asking
the soccer
what they're doing?
No. They, I didn't even ask. She just didn't put a straw down, and I had gotten waters, and I looked around, and no one had straws. And I asked the waitress, and I said, do you not give out straws? She says, not yet, we're only doing it. Somebody asks. And I said, how is that going over? She says, I haven't had one complaint. I mean, also another location that's built to not have
smart,
a complaint about it. But with
the Brown House.
Yeah.
So
I think if we could get more of a deli, a couple of different kinds of places, a deli, maybe something more of an in and out, a couple of diners. I'll ask my diner to start doing it in Barkley Heights and seeing, because they were actually the only place that brought, that something got run in the Saugerties Times about it. And they were like, what are you, they didn't understand, it was poorly written.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like, what are you doing with straws? I'm going to get a fine? And I'm like, no.
But see, what I would like to do rather than legislate something would be have a legislative partner with businesses where they're coming to this conclusion on their own without feeling like we're saying, this is what you're doing. Because I think we could build on that foundation extending to other things that we would like to expand it to.
This
Kathy?
Reminds me, as you say that, about when Tracy was doing the background work on the styrofoam, and we found the alternatives. We actually put the Department of Environment helped, and we put together a list of the alternatives, and that went to the businesses to talk with them about the fact that there would be potential for an alternative that would not cost them more.
They didn't feel that.
Right. But if we put together similar information, you know, dealing with Ryan's concern about the fast food establishments, if there were a bamboo or a paper alternative that was satisfactory to punch through the plastic that they were going through, another issue, but if it would punch through and it weren't too much more expensive, then they wouldn't have to have their people asking, you know, do you want a straw, as long as we're exempting paper or, you know, or non-plastic as not covered. So I would prefer to start for sure with the approach of going to them with, you know, asking them for their cooperation, and maybe if we put together some alternatives that
are
on the market.
Also, Ryan Goodwin had mentioned that he has to buy 9 cases at a time because there's a shortage of alternatives at this point. Like, the market has not quite caught up with.
I just Googled, and there's a company, I was just looking up price differentials, and there's a company, the first thing that came up was this company, Aardvark, that makes paper straws, and the top line on their website is, the overwhelming demand on paper straws has resulted in an average 10 to 12 week shipping window. We are making every effort to ship orders earlier. We apologize and appreciate your ongoing support.
Right.
So obviously there's a business opportunity here.
We should have somebody come in.
I mean, with all of this stuff, with the containers that we're not being able to recycle,
yeah.
I mean, there is a market waiting to happen.
Paper straws and You know, I mean,
McDonald's, it says McDonald's is going to replace all plastic straws in their UK location starting in May.
See, I think this is an opportunity for us to partner with businesses and not have them feel like, because the second that you say you're legislating something, they just shut down and they're just like,
I own a business and I don't feel that way. And none of the business I've talked to feel that way.
Well, the ones I've talked to have.
Who's that?
I've talked to the Exchange. I've talked to, I mean, you can take it seriously or not, but what I'm saying is I would really like to have an approach where we're coming in partnering together than enforcing something again. We're right on the heels of the plastic bag, which I want to be a positive thing, and I want that to move forward in a really well-received way. And I just feel that we're so close right now that we need to have a little bit of a space of time before we do something else. People just don't change like this. I think we need to take baby steps and to move forward.
Yeah, I've heard that argument, and I don't want to be 5 years gone, okay, now it's time for forks.
Well, I'm not talking about 5 years.
But that's what it turns into, and that's what it has. You know, I remember years ago, Ulster County could have been the first county to outlaw smoking in public places, and these kinds of conversations happened, and we were way down the list. I think this is public health. I think this is what, when you talk about safety and public health, those are the decisions that government does make, and you don't want to be too forceful about it, but I don't think a plastic straw restriction, this will be the first non-ban environmental, and I'd like to move on that quickly and see, you know, there's an experimental aspect to this where we're benefiting from things like this that other areas have done, and I don't know why Ulster County can't ever do something that makes sense, that probably works. It won't be perfect and nothing is, but hopefully the pros far outweigh the cons, and then other counties can look to us. But I do think we're waiting too long, and I don't think a 2-year term is crazy to think that we have 3 or 4 of these pieces of legislation out there. When I saw the way the elections went recently, I don't think Ulster County is saying, let's slow down on progressive. You know, I think they're saying, let's speed up. I wish, like I said earlier, that more of these things could go to referendum. I think that'd be the way to do it. But I think we got to look into what the actual laws, what kinds of things, since this is not an outright ban, perhaps this is the reason we find out. But let's talk to the lawyers about it, because I know I've talked to you about that, Mary, and you were much more comfortable with referendums.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's look into that as well. But
yeah.
Me personally,
I mean, honestly, if it went to referendum in that past, I would have no problem with that. Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I definitely think we, and Fawn said she'll get us that information. I think it's not, my instinct is it's not allowable for a referendum, especially given the fact that the executive's veto message on term limits is that that's not allowable for a referendum. I can't imagine.
You know what I'm finding out in Ulster County? That there are things that aren't legal in Ulster County that are legal in other counties, so we do have to figure that out as well.
We'll get the answer on the legality of that.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm not waiting.
we'll get the answer on that. But what I mean on this subject, I appreciate the concern about, for lack of another term, of piling it on, you know, people feeling like we're over legislating, but to me, this piece of legislation is really a baby step. I love that it forces the conversation and that it isn't a ban. You can still provide plastic straws. You just have to ask, and if people say they want them, then you can give them. And it forces people to think. And I have to say, it's interesting the plastic straw phenomenon, because it almost came out of nowhere where all of a sudden plastic straws are on everyone's mind. Because I know in working through the plastic bag issue, which took us so long, people would constantly say to me, what about plastic straws? And I thought, I don't know how this has taken over the psyche of so many different people, but it has, in a way that plastic bags didn't. And plastic bags are, in a lot of ways, in every way, way more invasive and pervasive, I'd say. But I think that this is a baby step. I think that we got to tweak these couple things. What I want to understand from this committee is, just let me paraphrase and tell me if I'm right or wrong. And I know that there are members of the committee who aren't necessarily supportive, period, but just let's deal with it on its face. We'd like to see passive distribution of paper. That would be okay with you, Anna.
And you, Kathy?
Yes.
Do
we still want to require asking about any single-use straw? If you're providing paper, do you have to ask for a single-use straw? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, because we're trying to cut down on waste.
It's very rare that a business chooses to put something that expensive out there to everyone. They're going that far, they're environmentally conscious to not want to put out
plastic
straws.
Well, where I can imagine there being a circumstance is like Brian's earlier concern from the other meeting is like in a drive-through or where it's obviously to go and you have that kind of cup. I could imagine being a business where I'd say, you know what, I'm just going to switch it to paper and just provide that in the to-go cups
Should we talk about exempting drive-thrus to start?
That was Brian's concern last time.
Is it written in here that it, because isn't it, remember James, that
it's just all takeout food.
And it says
via drive-thru.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'd be okay exempting drive-thrus to begin with. I don't know. Maybe that's something. I mean,
we should talk about it. Let's just highlight, as the sponsors, we should talk about whether or not we can, you know, if we can potentially. Because your concern, your concern was about the employee getting
the fact that you're going through a drive-thru.
Right.
You're driving.
You're driving. Exactly.
There's a wall there. It's not like that could lead to the law not being respected in other ways.
Right.
It's very straightforward.
Right.
To a drive-through, they can still put the straws in. If you're changing behavior everywhere else,
yeah. I think it's worth considering that. And so we have to be clear on the definition of the beverage straw in terms of the request being the plastic ones. But what was everyone's take on the asking for paper straws? If they're providing paper straws, do we still want them to ask?
This raises another step back a little bit. I think when Alex Steyer spoke, it came from plastic bags, but he also spoke on this because it was already out. He said he just didn't like to, you know, he didn't like to be told how to do all the things. So he was looking for something pretty simple and straightforward. And I think he didn't like the fact that he was going to have to post a sign that says you have to ask for plastic straw. He liked better what you encountered at that restaurant where they just didn't put one out.
Yep.
So I think if
but
we could...
But was he asking for a ban? Like
He didn't like the idea of a ban, but if we were going to do it, he wanted us to just do it a lot simpler. So I think my answer to your question about the paper is, yes, I think I would ask that they would still have to ask for a paper straw. But if they're doing it by passive distribution,
then they can only for paper.
Right. And maybe there's a way to say it that actually that paper or non-plastic is exempted from this regulation. So then we get, well, I guess not.
But then
just,
you wouldn't ask.
Then
what
you'd
saying.
Have to ask.
Can I just point something out? The restaurants and fast food establishments shall ask each customer purchasing takeout food if they want a straw. Why?
Well, before
why not just make the customer ask for it?
But I read it several times. It's before providing a single-use straw. It maybe should be written better.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Right. Vaughn, you're right. We're going to have to change that wording. And
yeah.
Kathy just said something like that.
I see. I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
So you're not making them ask, because that's insane to say you have to go up to every customer and ask them. But
you
to say
a
if you're going
if
to
you
give
wish
them
to
one,
provide, if
it
you want to provide a plastic straw,
you do it only upon request.
You can only provide a plastic straw if a customer requests. That's what I think the law was intended to.
Which is why the sign.
That's not what it was intended to do, right? It was intended that you were. Initially you were intending to have everybody ask.
Right. Ask every customer, but
no,
some customers.
No, it was always the idea that the idea behind it was never to mandate anyone to say any. I mean, that's weird when we start getting into making someone say something. But it was always upon request, so they could not. So that leaves it up to you whether you can wait to be asked for one, or if you really want to get around the law, but which is actually going to work in our favor for what we're trying to do. Because if somebody decides, look, I'm just going to ask everybody, now you're making, they have to start a dialogue, an environmental dialogue almost. Do you want, and you're going to have a lot of people say no, mm-hmm. no, no, especially when all these other places are doing it the right way, you're going to eventually decrease. And to quickly comment to what you said before on why straws, and isn't that, and it, you were kind of like just philosophizing, why now? But I think there's, look, we're in the county as legislators, and the community around that's cognizant of what's going on and where they want to see things go. There's only so much we can do. We cannot, Jim Maloney always brings up his mulch comes in plastic bags. Well, that's something that we're never going to, I mean, state, federal level is going to have to deal with 99% of plastics.
Right.
And they're not going to do it. So we can wait and wait and wait, or we can drive the conversation on the local level. And I think a lot of environmental, you know, progressive environmental things that need to happen, a lot of times it's going to happen, we're kind of in the middle, the county, you know, I think that's why. There's only a couple of things that come after this, and then we're done. I mean, it's not like we're going to keep being able to go, I mean, you know, silverware is a big one, but after that, there's not a heck of a lot after that that we can do. Then we've done everything we can do on the county level to kind of drive the conversation and drive the state and federal level. So that's why I think straws is next, because there's only so many things that we're gonna have the ability to do.
If we did Mary's letter and got in conversation with the businesses, we might be able to come to a better decision about how to handle the paper straws or non-plastic, because it might be that they would be accepting of a ban on that if they're using something else, and maybe that would that be as good as or better.
What you're going to end up happening is the places that are for the business owners, no matter, Mr. Steyer is going to come in and say it was a disaster, and then the bread alone is going to come in and say it worked great. I mean, I don't know. And who are we going to? We're going to send letters to every business.
Yeah, I don't know what Mr. Steyer would say.
I'm using that as an example of somebody I was speaking hypothetically, but somebody that starts out against it and really against it, their experience is probably going to be negative. The people that started out for it, their experience is probably going to be positive. And then we're right back to where we are. We just spent a lot of time.
The discussion last time, if I'm not mistaken, was that Mary wanted to not have it back to back. And I thought that if we use the time, let's say we revisit this in March, between now and March, ask businesses, say this is coming, and ask businesses to do it on a voluntary basis and give us feedback. My sense is, those who are willing to do it on a voluntary basis will tend to give us good feedback. But I think your point is well taken that, you know, if somebody's dead set against changing what they're doing, which is very wasteful and so forth, but that way it wouldn't be back to back. It would be legislative, and they would likely buy in because they had a chance to have feedback. So that's how we left it last time. I'm fine with tweaking the language and passing it as it is, but I think we might get less pushback if we do it in a phased-in way where people feel like they've had input.
Tracy?
I think at the very least, we're going to need to take a month to tweak it, and you know, it might solve a lot of problems by switching it from asking to on request. I mean, it's easier, it's more straightforward. And if it's on request, kind of to what Kathy's earlier point was, is if it's on request but allowing passive distribution of an alternative like paper, I don't think anyone would passively distribute
bamboo or steel
because it's expensive. Then that might quell a lot of concerns. I mean, in terms of the effective date, you know, we can talk about whether or not the we make it effective immediately, or if we delay the effective date, and that there's some, you know, outreach and conversation in between. I think that's also a decent idea. I mean, some of the issue of being on the heels of plastic bags is going to continue to be an issue, because plastic bags, while we've passed it and it's passed, it doesn't go in effect till July. When I talked to Amanda briefly about it, she talked about basically an Earth Day launch. So plastic bags are really going to be on people's minds in the months of April, May, June, July, August, and then on again until later as enforcement really gets underway.
And I'll also send everybody, I started a draft letter to put out, and
that,
I will.
That would be great. I mean, I think we have to remind ourselves that, and I really appreciate that concern, but I really appreciate, Joe, when you talk about we have 2 years, it's like trying to make the most thoughtful impact in our time here. And we have a really great, thoughtful body, both in this committee and in the body as a whole. And so the idea that this legislation would be motivating the conversation and not actually, you know, banning anything, I think is a really positive way to look at it. And, you know, I would expect the conversation to spread out and people and restaurants to be more mindful, again, of just, you know, like all those times where it comes and you're sitting down with six people and six waters come. I mean, when did adults start needing straws to drink everything? It's so weird. It's a weird modern phenomenon, because I definitely spent all my life until very recently just drinking out of a glass and not drinking from a straw. And so I don't know why someone gives me my water glass with a straw in it. It's just really, it's
only when people are out, you know, in public restaurants, people don't rarely use straws at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I think there was some way of making it seem like it was more sanitary, but if they're reusable glasses, they go through sterilization.
Yeah, but I have refused straws, and people try to, it was not so much recently, because now they will back off, but when they first were doing the straw thing, they would say, well, it's harder for us to clean the glasses. Or the health department requires us. I was even told that. And it's just not, you know. I mean, it's this mythic thing that I think plastic straw manufacturers put out in their materials and somehow seep into public consciousness. So, just so you know, and maybe we should tell our friend down in New Paltz, you can get 1,000 bamboo natural flax straws for $30 from Itsy.
These industrial dish washers that these places have now too.
So they
all get up to a certain heat. They're killing 100% of bacteria.
Yeah.
It's not, there is no. And the other thing is, there's a big cost to, as we talk in one segment of the meeting about recycling and trash and solid waste, this plays into that as well. And it's costly to us. The government shoulders costs for the citizen that we're asking to be more responsible. Where are we going there?
All right, so what's our plan?
Do you want to get this up?
Let's clean it up.
Yeah, we'll be
let's
so we're going to put it on.
Let's send that. Let's you want to fire this in an email out like Fawn's going to do for her letter, and let's everybody get, you know, I'm sure everyone's going to go, Mary, that seems like a good letter, and we can discuss how to get it to as many places as possible. Mm-hmm. And
Department
then,
of Health, we had mentioned, has contact with all these food.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what you were saying.
But also, we might want to take some of our applicants for the Oversight Committee and come up with some kind of outreach for something like this, too. Mm-hmm.
Get them to help.
Yeah. So,
and if enough restaurants opt in, there's going to be kind of an understanding and comfortableness to it, as the other ones do as well. That'd be maybe one of the best things to come out of it as we do this in 6 months or whatever.
See, my goal is not to stop what your intent is. My goal is to have people just willingly come on board and not have it be contentious or, you know, and start their thought process for everything and how everything's connected and how we have to be more thoughtful.
And one way to potentially do that too is kind of, so in my town, you know, one of our most popular, we're a small town, not a lot of restaurants, but one of our most popular restaurants that's known, you know, throughout the region, willingly, they got it's not on request. You know, on request you can get a stainless steel straw that they then wash, but they got rid of all the plastic straws, all straws. And they were recognized by the Green Business Alliance, the Brown House. Yep. They were recognized. And I think that recognition, if we can find a way also mm-hmm. in advance, again, back to the sticker idea, you know, proud Ulster County, Green
and
Business.
And the app.
You know, straw-free. And we get the, and it says straw free, then the next business goes, and back to the app, you know, then the next business goes, how do I get that sticker? Because now my customers are saying, why are there straws in my glass? More people are annoyed that there are straws in the glasses. So, and that's something that we, the legislature, if it's not coming from the executive's office, we can just have those stickers, you can go online and have, 10,000 stickers made for $100,
and also,
and then we start distributing them. We start the outreach, but that's again back to the communications person in the legislature. If we can create a partnership with the executive's office, but if it doesn't happen, or if it's not on an initiative that's actually happened yet, then how do you move that forward? So,
but also on our educational, how we want to increase that. Going into the schools and stuff with the kids, mm-hmm. when that's huge when they bring that home.
Yeah.
But I just, to both your comments, sure. Mary, if you're writing a letter, let people know that if they voluntarily stop using plastic straws, they qualify as a green business leader. That's
right.
That's the number 7. So... Mm-hmm. And recognition on the county website, and so
right.
there is, and we hope to get that, and maybe what we should do is when we make up the logo, make a special logo that says straw free.
Yeah,
because we already have that in place. So
right.
let's
right. Yeah,
you know,
we can just build on what we have.
Yeah.
So, do we take no action?
So
do we?
Yeah.
Well, you could
no
take
action.
No action, or you could just withdraw it and bring it back with all the changes you want without having
no.
to amend it.
We're going
to
take no action.
Okay.
We'll take no
action is
we'll
the same as postponing. Just so you know.
Up
yeah.
the language the way we wanted.
But the sponsors
we'll
aren't going to have a problem.
Letter,
with that.
And then we'll revisit
yeah.
it next month.
Yeah, I think right, we don't need to pull it. I think just
no.
Sleep. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's not that it takes 2 seconds to amend
yeah.
whatever we're changing.
Sure.
Since all the sponsors are going to be okay with it, that I'm sure it won't be a problem. So we're just going to. Say,
well, no action.
No action. Postponing is the same thing. So,
a distinction without a
okay.
difference.
Yes, Jay and I had a big discussion about why are they taking no action? They have to postpone. But it's Vicky says the same thing.
Okay. So resolution 471 amending.
It's postponed without consent.
Yeah. Then it's 3 times.
Yeah.
Amending resolution number 318, dated September 15th, 2015, to confirm the agreement of sale of county-owned real property in the town of Lloyd to New York State Department of Environmental Conservation and authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to convey such parcel, Department of Finance. So do we have a motion to move it?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Okay, discussion?
You know, why is no one here to talk about it? Just out of curiosity.
The resolution has the narrative, but it's still it's awkward
like
to follow.
Yeah, and I feel like we're the
supposed to have real say over this, and yet they're kind of.
But I also just feel like the Environment Committee somehow we've gotten to a point where now nobody comes to us or talks to us.
These are the NPS meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like we need. You know.
Well,
and we could
probably
make them longer.
So long.
We really could.
Maybe that's
one. We actually could meet twice a month, I think.
Yeah.
Should we tell them to send somebody here to talk to us?
Well,
yeah.
Is there a time? Is there a time issue? Or
I got to tell you this. I'm definitely. I mean, my history with this Chattahoochee Lake piece of property goes back to probably 2004. And if Hector were here, he would verify it, because I all but got in a screaming match with Lou Kirshner over this piece of property. So, yeah. And I have a giant file at home, this big, on this piece of property. But I'm trying to follow, it seems like, okay, it's going to DEC. I mean, my one big question for the DEC, because it is a critical piece of property, and, you know, the reason that it's still here, the treasurer at the time wanted to sell it to a private person, and we got in a big fight over it, because I said, this seems like a critical piece of a property in terms of access and the lake and et cetera, et cetera.
Was it Bernie Smith?
And so, yeah, so there it is. But my the thing that I would want to know is that, and I would assume it goes without saying, but I just want to know that it was, because it's going to the DEC, that it's going to stay a protected, that is the deed going to say that it can't then be sold for private sale? Is it going to stay a protected piece of property? You would think with the DEC it would, but I'm just saying, will the deed say it, or does it have a chance?
Can I just ask, was this brought up in Ways and Means? Cause it's
Ways and Means hasn't met yet.
Oh.
We meet next week.
Didn't you meet last week?
Not on resolutions.
You know, our regular meeting is next week. I'm going to bring my file just so you guys can appreciate.
Well, if this was time sensitive, we could have a quick meeting on
right before.
It doesn't. And if it was time sensitive, it should probably be in the resolution.
Well, if it was time sensitive, you would think someone would just come to somebody.
And what are they doing on the land?
It seems
on the face of it,
a good thing. Yeah.
The first thing I have such
a history.
It stays in their hands.
Yeah, and that's what I would want to know, is that are we sure it's going to stay in their hands, and do we have some kind of default that if they purchase it and then they decide they want to sell it to the highest bidder,
we
first get a first refusal back?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a critical piece of property. I'd like to see it go to the DEC. It makes sense, but.
It seems like if it goes to the DEC, it prevents some of those harmful things that you're worried about. But I don't know anything more about this than what's in the resolution.
Years and years ago.
Yeah, 2004.
So what's our option to take no action?
You can postpone it.
I definitely want to.
I would just like to hear the background more. I mean, I tried to follow the narrative in here, then go back and read through the resolution of 2015 that we're amending, but
we need somebody to say what's said.
I'm not saying I'm opposed to it. I'm just saying I just don't know enough. I'd be curious to know a little bit more.
Well, there's a reason why we approve, right?
I guarantee this is the piece of property, right? Do you recall that?
I recall the discussion about it, because the Chattahoochee Lake property is, you know, it's a beautiful lake to fish on, and
in 2000, I mean, I remember saying this is in the open space plan, and it was
why
didn't
it go through with the first one?
But they were selling to a private bidder who was going to develop it,
and you stopped it.
So this is what you should. Yeah. So. This is your time to celebrate.
And it's something about the wording. It's something about the wording in the contract for DEC that needed to be changed in our resolution so it coincides with the contract. That's all I was told. But I don't know any other details, and I kind of thought.
I'm sure finance will be at Ways and Means.
Look, if
but it can't be discussed in Ways and Means until you guys pass it.
So I think it's fair to say if we're going to hand this off to you that certain things are in that contract, we have some guarantees that this is government. Let's be honest. There could be an arrangement already that in a year or two down the road, that guy that was trying to get it 15 years ago knows somebody in the DEC, and this is all, you know, that's very unlikely, but these things happen in government, and if people don't do their due diligence, the taxpayer gets taken advantage of, but let's make sure.
Well, and also, what happened with the 15 thing? That's the other thing I don't fully understand.
It's 123 acres, and it's $178,000. Am I reading that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's because that's the unpaid taxes.
Right, yeah.
Once, if this is sold to DEC, my understanding is it would be entered into one of the units, and they're very strong protections to prevent it from then being sold for private use. There's
already a DEC has a dock that goes out so you can launch canoes, small boats, canoes from there already.
That's not the lake that half you can hunt, duck hunt on half of it.
I don't know, but the Division for Youth is on half of it.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Well, what's with this amendment?
I don't think we're going to get those answers tonight.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on.
But can we put in tentatively set a meeting before?
If you do, I could schedule interviews.
Yeah, that's right.
before session, like, right? Immediately
whatever you
before
want.
No,
session
it had to
night.
Be before Ways and Means.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if session night is going to be a good night.
This is getting put off a month.
No, or
because
next,
it would have to come out of this committee to go to Ways and Means.
Is this from?
No, it doesn't have to come out of this committee to go to Ways and Means. Ways and Means gets.
If the committee before Ways and Means, whether it's laws and rules or anything else,
if nothing
if you don't
happened,
act on
I don't
it,
think it can.
We don't do anything in Ways
but
and
then
Means.
How do we get all those resolutions that haven't come out of committee because the committee hasn't met?
Because
maybe it's
then
more
laws
than
and rules becomes the first committee, but now we've met and it's been opened up, I think.
But it's also there might be more than one committee on some of those.
Wait. I know we're moving legislative. Well, I don't know.
No, but
my understanding.
We have a question about
when we're in Ways and Means. We definitely have resolutions from committees that haven't met yet, and we vote on them in Ways and Means.
In general, though, that would probably be because we rescheduled a meeting after that Ways and Means
but
meeting.
But what's the problem?
I don't.
It means that Ways and Means is not precluded from voting based on
another committee
not taking action.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think that's
like
right.
It's
but it's a courtesy for Ways and Means not to supersede a committee of primary
jurisdiction. But we
do
it all the time.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I don't know that you really do it all the time. I think usually they save it to the second meeting.
We do it a lot.
Oh.
We do it a lot. Don't you remember? There's a million times where we say, "Oh."
Well, there have been several resolutions did not come to this committee because they didn't pass another committee first.
Yeah, it's happened.
This committee hasn't. That's one of the things I check before I do your agenda, is if resolutions were going through other committees, if they didn't pass that committee, they don't come here. But.
If we have to have a special meeting next week, then. We have a special meeting next week?
But maybe...
Well, legislative programs is moving...
Why don't we just put it off a month? And I'll tell you what, maybe it'll start acting as a deterrent.
Yeah, all right.
When
legislative programs was supposed to meet on Monday, but my understanding is they're trying to change that.
They did change it.
To Thursday, and you're going
to
meet in Marbletown?
Yes.
So, and then Wednesday night, you have the BOCES budget hearing, which I'm sure you're probably going to go to the BOCES one in New Paltz. Yeah. So I don't know. I could see if they could.
The budget hearings.
I'll probably go to them. Yeah.
And then we're,
I just meant on, but I think Joe's right. There's no reason to believe that this is time sensitive. So.
I'm not aware of it being time sensitive.
Yeah, so we hold it. And if we find out it's time sensitive.
I mean, it was originally passed in 2015 or something, the original resolution that we're amending. When was that?
2015.
So if.
Which, again, I don't know why we're amending it. Someone should explain that to us.
Yeah, if it's. How time sensitive could it be if it's been sitting around since 2015?
The budget hearing here next week, is that going to be in this library?
No, it'll be in the chamber.
It says on the calendar, it says the library.
I did hear something about this, but I think that there was discussion because DEC
that
wanted a quitclaim deed from the county, and I think the county isn't easily or at all
not going to be in the
library. I didn't think it would be right.
So the Ulster BOCES
what they probably did is they probably had to try to figure out a way that DEC would take it without that, and they probably arranged that, and they're taking out the section that says that the county will give them a quitclaim deed.
So, we should get a legal opinion.
All right. All right. So,
so we're postponing that.
We're postponing that. So we'll move on to new business.
You all got
new business?
I just want to make sure they all got this.
What is it?
This is the legal opinion about the plastic bag fee.
Yeah, you sent that out to us.
Oh, yeah.
I want to make sure you all saw this.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you include it? I saw the email that said that.
I don't think I included it in my email telling you we had this.
Oh.
But,
well, could I ask why portions redacted?
This is the way they got it from the state.
Okay.
So it must have been that someone in, I suspect from reading this, that someone in Suffolk County asked for the question, and they just removed the name.
Did you send that?
Yeah, but you can have
this. I saw you had reached out and gotten the opinion,
yeah,
which
we,
I'm grateful for. That's great.
Yeah, we have that. It's
because I was concerned that it specifically addressed the fact that the stores are keeping the fee, and if you read through the whole thing, that's what the Suffolk County law did also.
So Ways and Means meets Tuesday?
Ways and Means meets Tuesday.
Okay,
yeah,
so
we're trying to schedule a pre-meeting. Are we still doing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You accidentally sent over a proclamation about Ed Gatti.
Yeah, that shouldn't have gone out.
No, it shouldn't have.
I mean, you sent it to me
right now.
Oh, just you? I'm sorry.
I mean, physically.
I didn't send that out. That I must have had it laying on my desk when I stapled that together.
Do you want that back?
Sorry, yeah. We'll take that.
A proclamation.
Sorry.
Cleaning one day.
Sorry. Yeah.
Who cleaned that up?
Oh, it's the chairman did. Ed retired.
What day was it?
He retired. Should be every day.
It was the night of the dinner that they honored him.
Yeah, it was sort of tongue in cheek because
I knew what was in there.
I mean, it's sort of tongue in cheek. If you read it, it says, you know, like the old chairman never died. They just, you know, sit in front. It was.
So, any other new business?
I wanted to mention, and it's I couldn't. My phone's not cooperating. There's a woman that I mentioned, Sharon Rowe, who has the business that makes the
bags.
That I distributed. She's written a book called The Magic of Tiny Businesses, and she's coming to Woodstock's Bring Your Own store in Woodstock on November 17th, I believe it is. And so I could send the information to Fawn.
Okay, good.
That it'll be
Bring Your Own store, that sounds fascinating right there.
Yeah, so Bring Your Own store has bulk items that you can buy a container for. Shampoos and laundry detergents and all that kind of thing, and they also carry these reusable bags and other cool products.
Oh, you bring your own stuff.
So you don't have any bags going out from the store, and you also don't buy things in plastic containers that you use once.
Wow.
Instead, you either buy metal or glass from them, and you refill it. So it's like a bulk distribution center, but instead of for food, for personal products.
Now, where is that going to be?
Oh, that's cool.
It's right across. It's right next to the Golden Notebook.
Okay.
And when I purchased the bags from them to bring here, I suggested that Sharon Rowe come and give a talk at Golden Notebook because they do these author presentations. But they decided to invite her and have her do the author presentation in their store. So it'll be a chance to meet these folks. They're young folks. They're very energetic. And
where are they from?
I think they're local. They're local now, but I think they also grew up here. I'm not sure. So
yeah,
I'm sorry I don't have
there.
The time, but
right.
I think it's mid-afternoon. That's a Saturday, I believe, the 17th.
Okay, good.
If my phone comes back, I may be able to tell
Tracy?
You.
Just one last new thing on that Kathy's got me thinking. So I know I brought up that gentleman that I saw. I don't know if anyone got a chance. I think I sent it out to you all, the 60 Minutes piece about...
Did you?
You couldn't open it?
All I got was the commercial.
Yeah. Okay, so let me get the link, and I'll do it from home.
It did a commercial, then you would expect the video to come up, and it just...
Right, it didn't come up.
A black screen.
I don't know if I sent it from this computer, because this computer, I have a hard time. You can't hit send with a link. But anyway, I will resend it from home, but what I think once... Maybe we can talk about it next month once everyone sees it. This gentleman's down in New Jersey. His facility's in New Jersey, and just to refresh everyone's memory... 60 Minutes did a piece on him where he basically was a recycling and separation facility, and he decided to that it would be actually profitable for him, rather than sorting and sending, to start the work in-house of actually transforming the materials into their saleable product. And he did that. So he takes the plastic, and it's made into these little tiny pieces of plastic that then get sold on a market, and right out of New Jersey. The whole, it's beginning to end in his site. And so the reason I'm bringing it up is I'd love if everyone could look at it. And if the committee's interested, I'd love to reach out to him, because I very much want to go see it based on all our old field trips. Mm-hmm. And if the committee's interested, maybe we could all carpool down and go check it out. Because honestly, it's the stuff we keep talking about creating like not just a market, but a business model, mm-hmm. and the sustainability that Mana talks about, you know, in-house and in-county. I think that it's worth us looking and bringing Tim and maybe the board members.
I'd like to see it, but I had...
Yeah, I'll resend the link, because it's pretty impressive.
And also the Recycling Oversight Committee. Mm-hmm. You know, let them see this.
He realized when the markets were drying up, that's what the piece was about, when the overseas markets were drying up in terms of the raw product, he realized that there was a benefit to just actually creating the product here. And he has a market for all this stuff. So.
That's good.
That's sort of how Henry Ford started, you know, like he made his own tires and he made his own stuff and he made everything he needed to manufacture what he wanted, you know, at the end. So it's sort of like the reverse where you're...
the reverse, exactly.
Okay, so maybe you have a climate smart...
Yeah, and report. I have an announcement about this Saturday is the EMC and League of Women Voters are collaborating, and I think Cornell, on a solid waste presentation.
At SUNY Ulster, right?
At SUNY Ulster. And they asked me to spend 10 minutes or so talking about the Ulster County Green Business Challenge. So that was really nice. And they don't have a lot on composting. I was kind of a little bit disappointed in that, but I think that probably the best thing is to wait till this composting committee meets and comes up with something and then brings that forward. So it's probably just as well. As far as the Climate Smart Committee, I think that, I'm not sure if we met since there was a drawdown, and a lot of people from the region and beyond went to the drawdown presentation, which is all about climate solutions, but focused on education, K-12, you know, community education about climate solutions. I will be speaking to the Saugerties Chamber of Commerce. I believe it's the fourth Wednesday. Let's see. I'm having a hard time with my...
The fourth Wednesday would be the 28th.
Yes, so it's after Thanksgiving. And I will be speaking on the Green Business Challenge.
What time is that, Gina?
I think it's 7, and the location changes each month. So I will find out for sure and let Fawn know to circulate it. And also... this morning I attended a breakfast of the Roundout Business Association, Roundout Valley Business Association. Rick Remsnyder talked about tourism, and he gave me 5 minutes to talk about the Green Business Challenge. And afterwards, people were coming up to me and telling me what they were already doing and what they plan to do. And I told them that if you're already doing this, then we'll get you into the system as a green business leader. If you've already done something. If you're doing something new, then you're taking the challenge, and we can take credit, because hopefully we'll be able to track that and translate it to greenhouse gas emissions avoided, or in the case of agriculture, and there are a couple of farmers in the room, actually starting to sequester or measuring the carbon that they are sequestering. So we haven't quite resolved the issue with the executive branch. I did ask for a meeting, and hopefully, you know, a few of us and a few of the Climate Smart people and the steering committee. And I have talked to County Executive Ken Cornell and Amanda, and of course we would invite the Office of Economic Development. I would like to do that as soon as possible. I made the request probably a week and a half ago, because I am planning to propose a budget amendment. I would have brought it to the committee. It's like 90% there, but I still need to work on it. So I'll send it around to the committee just so you have a chance to read it. It wouldn't have gone through committee. But if we have a special meeting, we might be able to do that. It's much smaller than last year, but somebody has to manage this program. And my sense is, and what I've been told, is that there just isn't enough, aren't enough resources in either essentially the Office of Economic Development or Department of Environment to manage the program. We have so many businesses and so many volunteers right now, and I have a full-time job, you know. And
is there any grants or anything that maybe Cornell would be interested in?
That's what I want to sit down with the executive branch and talk through and figure out, because, you know, first of all, one point is there was a concern that we haven't actually had any businesses, or there may be one or two, but in a goal of 100, you know, we have very little to show. But it's taken 8 months to lay the foundation.
Right.
We didn't launch till June. So we really have another 6 months before the first year is up. And I think we might not get 100, but I think we could easily get 50, because the list is starting to back up. And unless, you know, Nick and the Department of Environment can help starting to get that up on the website and process it, but we do have people out there every day now actively working with businesses. It's mostly the steering committee, but SUNY New Paltz is planning to do a an introduction and a training to get a New Paltz pod going. I think that a Saugerties, there's a lot of interest in Saugerties. And I think as of this morning, we stimulated some interest in Roundout. And New Paltz is interested. So I just, you know, in order to make this work and really see results, I think somebody has to be paid to a couple times a week go out and meet with businesses, put them through the system. They don't have to do all the work, but they can help coordinate the volunteers and follow up. And so if we don't have enough existing resources, I think we need to, I'm talking about $50,000, and then, what is it, a $23 million budget? What's our budget? Is that?
$330.
What is it?
$320, $318, $320,
okay.
Bounces around.
Yeah.
Years.
So, you know, I think we should be able to find $50,000. It's much scaled down. A year's experience, you know, has helped us. And I am deeply appreciative of the work that the departments have done. But I just don't want to see this languish at a point where it's really ready to take off. So hopefully, we will have that meeting in time for a budget amendment, and I will send a draft around. so I have two things I have to do, right?
To follow up with what Kathy was talking about with Sharon Rowe, it's at the Bring Your Own store on November 17th at 4:30, and that's at 33 Tinker Street in Woodstock.
She used to, this is an aside, but she used to be on the board of Clearwater, Sharon. Were you able to find the details on the waste? Can you?
On?
The League of Women Voters. Oh.
That's on the county
EMC.
Website.
It's on the county website?
Yeah, I think so, because Amanda sent it to me.
I'm having trouble making my Safari work. So I tried to look it up.
It's right here.
All right. Yes. Thank you. And that is Saturday from 8:30 to 1 at SUNY Ulster in the lounge. Thank you. And there's probably a bunch of other things coming up, but I think that's it for Climate Smart.
All right, well, do we have a motion? All right, all in favor. Thank you, everyone.
So it is 7:43.